Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa, that is the opening for the show that sweeps the country, and you're probably saying we're an hour late. No, we just figured we'd push it an hour. The other show, True North Podcast, taking the week off, so we figured we'd back this up. Right after this one will be The Realm, hosted by J.V. Hilliard, and then we'll get into Tampa. But this is the show that starts it, and this is the show that keeps picking up steam. Moving the Chains Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. My sidekick, the straw that stirs the drink, and I always say when God created women, the world was complete. Danielle Orsino out there in Charlotte, North Carolina. Back from Austin, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, we realize 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic. Danielle the Threes, how are you back from Austin? How can people get a hold of you? And tomorrow night we start, and I said to myself, not only tomorrow night we start, next year, the season will start on my birthday. November 14th is a Thursday. 2024, the season will start on my birthday. We don't know who the participants. We know one of the Super Bowl teams will be there. But, man, oh, man, I was excited to see that. Take it away.
Hi, Mark. Yeah, I'm so excited. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Football is back. and yes, I am back from Austin. I had a wonderful time at GalaxyCon Austin. I met some beautiful people. I sold a lot of books. I met some readers. It was great. Everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at birthofthefae_novels. Check it out. And you can always get my books, the Birth of the Fae series, on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Target.com, all those good places. But let's just jump right into it because football is back. Yes, we start tomorrow with the kickoff game of the Lions and the Chiefs. But before we get into that, we have some breaking news. For those of you who don't know, Nick Bosa's holdout is over. He has signed his contract finally, and it looks like it's $170 million. That's the extension with the 49ers, so that's kind of crazy. He is back, and he will be ready to play against the Steelers. Sorry, Steelers, I know that you were kind of planning for him not to be there, but yes, he is now the highest-paid defensive player in NFL history with an average per-year salary of $34 million, besting Aaron Donald's $31.7 million with the Rams. So Bosa is back, and the 49ers can all breathe a huge sigh of relief knowing that Bosa is back. Now, that being said, unfortunately, the Chiefs have some not-so-great news. It looks like on Tuesday, Travis Kelce did, in fact, unfortunately, hyperextend his knee. Now, two sides to this coin. So it is a hyperextension of the knee. It is not an ACL, MCL, PCL tear. Now, the only thing you have to look at with a hyperextension is, yes, there could be medial meniscus, a slight medial meniscus tear with this. He underwent an MRI. It doesn't look like that's the case, but there is extensive swelling. So the whole thing is that the swelling needs to go down and the pain needs to be manageable enough for him to play. I don't think that's going to be the case, guys. I don't think this man is playing tomorrow night. When you're dealing with the knee and you're dealing with that much swelling, the problem is with swelling like that, this can easily go, if there was not a medial meniscus issue, it can turn into a medial meniscus issue with this much swelling. So the best thing would be for him to sit this out. Now, knowing the type of player he is, will he sit it out? Two totally different stories. So I'm going to say he's not playing. I'm hoping that he's smart enough to sit it out, but you never know. So it doesn't look like, as of right now, he is listed as questionable. Andy Reid seems to think he's going to sit it out. We'll have to wait and see. The other big deal is that Chris Jones, still for the Chiefs, does not have a contract. He is still holding out. He has been fined an extensive amount of money. And he said, basically, look, guys, I could be out tomorrow, and I'm willing to be out tomorrow. I just want to be paid, and he's not getting the money that he feels he deserves. Now, given what he's done for the Chiefs, yeah, I think he's worth the money, but they're not budging. I don't think this is getting worked out by tomorrow. I think we can all agree if it hasn't gotten worked out this far. I don't think this is getting done. I think that they're prepping for them, for him not to be there. They've done enough. I mean, the Chiefs have done what they needed to do. They acquired Neil Farrell from Las Vegas, which I think is an indication that they're really prepped to start the season without Chris Jones. So I think they're just kind of doing what they need to do. Chris Jones has already said, look, I'm prepped to sit out until week 8. So I don't think that's getting resolved anytime soon. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I want to start out with the Nick Bosa thing because I've seen this happen before. People get the big money. Yeah, we're all ready to play. Then the injuries start coming. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to call it, and I hope it doesn't happen, but I think you're going to find Nick Bosa being an injured guy, not going to play the whole season with the San Francisco 49ers. And the way I see this, I've seen this dog and pony show too many times. People hold out. People don't want to play because they want the money. Then when the money is there, there's no preparation for preseason now because that's all done. You really can't prepare a lot because you're not playing the in-game things going against the offensive side in the camps. So you're being thrown into the threshold of things. And you're not being thrown in the threshold of things playing the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona or the Houston Texans in Houston or in your backyard. You're going to Pittsburgh where Pittsburgh just swept the preseason. I know it doesn't mean nothing. Hostile environment, big things for the Steelers, a lot of depth, and they're going to key on this guy. Now, I know T.J. Watt held out last time, and he contributed against the Buffalo Bills and had a couple sacks and, you know, hurried passes and all that. But then we all saw where T.J. Watt went getting injured down the line. You cannot just sign a big contract, Danielle, and expect, okay, here we go. I'm the highest-paid defensive guy here, and I'm going to play all these 17 games. It's not happening. This dude's not going to last the season, I'm telling you right now. And I'll tell the San Francisco faithful this, that, you know, he's a hell of a player, but good luck, trying to, you know, stand here and go, okay, I can, you know, it's like almost running a marathon without preparing a marathon and just saying, oh, I feel good today. I'm just going to run the marathon. No, you're going to get cramps. You're gonna be probably dehydrated. You don't know what it takes. You know, you've been playing in the league, but you've been playing all along, and now you stop playing because you wanted big money. They gave you big money, and now they don't give her if you get injured or not because somebody else is going to have to step up. Nobody's waiting around now when they give you the big money. It's like, we gave you the money, go out there and play. And that's the problem, Danielle. Any comments on that?
I think with Nick Bosa, it's not the same front four as we saw when it was the Chiefs versus the 49ers a couple years ago in the Super Bowl when the Chiefs won. That kind of four horsemen of the apocalypse look that they had, it's not the same. I think with Bosa, I agree with the prep. But you know what? I also think when it comes to Bosa, he's got something to prove because, you know, you're getting more money now than Aaron Donald. That's a huge mantle that you're going to stand on. You better prove yourself. You know, I mean, you're sitting here. I mean, okay, yeah, you're the AP's NFL Defensive Player of the Year and all this stuff. You really got to step up. If you're going to come out and you get an ACL tear by game 3 because you didn't do the prep work and you were just like, I'm going to sit it out. I want more money. What's this going to say? So they're building a defense around you. I'd like to think you were doing the prep work on the side. You know, I look at Saquon, who was constantly working out, even though he was like, I want my money, I want my money. These guys, I'd like to think you're smarter than this. I would like to think you're smarter than this, that you know the game by now and you know the business side of it. Whether you're going to prove me right, you know, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I think the 49ers are underestimating the Steelers. And we have to remember that, you know, they were hot down the stretch last season, winning 7 of their last 9 games, including 4 straight at the end. You can't underestimate them coming into this. These guys have got a chip on their shoulder. The preseason, they were hot too. I don't know how in Bosa's position you can request this money and not do the work and put this team on your back and think you're going to come in with an opener against the Steelers and not look right, requesting
right.
that kind of money.
Well, let me get to some of these comments. You bring up some interesting things. Jonathan coming in here, and he's listened to a couple shows. He said, you guys are doing a good job. Keep up the good work. Coming in from Tallahassee. And he goes, before I get into the Bosa thing, because I think, you know, you're absolutely right, Mark. You're calling it, and, you know, it's proven that, you know, guys that come in after they sign the big money, injuries start to mount because they're not really prepared as they were before, training in the preseason and stuff like that. But he goes, guys, what's the deal with the opening week? I'm looking at some of these games, and we'll get into some of these games, Jonathan. Don't you know, we might have the same thoughts you do. He goes, there's not a lot of marquee games. There's some yawners in here. Have you looked at some of the yawners, guys? He's talking about the Cincinnati, Cleveland, the Jacksonville, Indiana, Tampa, Minnesota, Houston, Baltimore. He says there's the Raider game's a yawner. He said there's only a handful of games that you can count on your fingertips that, hey, you know what, maybe I need to watch that. He brings up an interesting point, Danielle, because, you know, the Green Bay, Chicago, I know you got to play your team in the division, but can we wait this out? And here we go again with one of these NFC North things that are shoved down my throat on television out here in L.A. They're going to give us the Green Bay, Chicago. I don't know what it is, but somebody has to work in television or something, that work in that camera that's going to be either somewhere in the NFC North division, Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota, or Detroit. I am force-fed Green Bay, Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota, or Minnesota, Chicago every year, whether it's a Thursday night, a Monday night, a Sunday night, and now I get it the first week of the year. What the hell is going on here with these teams they keep giving us? Somebody must have some pull to get these things. And these are yawners. And this guy's absolutely right.
Oh, there's a lot of yawners. There's a lot of yawners starting week. Week one I always felt like should be the explosive, like, we're here, football's back.
Yep.
And I'm looking at it and I'm going, I really got to watch the Buccaneers and the Vikings. Like, you know, I got to watch the Jags and the Colts. Look, I'm excited for the Jags. Am I excited to see them against the Colts? No, I'm not. The Dolphins and the Chargers, it could be a good game. But some of these games, I'm like, I want to see somebody who doesn't normally go against somebody else. Or I want to – some of these games I'm just looking at and I'm like, the Texans and the Ravens? Is that really a game we're all excited about? I want to either see some smackdown rivals like, okay – the Cowboys and the Giants, and don't say it's because I'm a Giants fan out there, people, but that's always a week one game. That's been the week one thing we all, you know, since day one. Like, that's it. We know they all hate each other. It's going to be a great game. Cool. I'm excited for that. I want to see teams that hate each other that are like, I've been looking to get your butt since the end of last season. Those are the games I'm excited about. The Bengals and the Browns? Really? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's not like a holy cow. Like, wow, this would be amazing. You know, Joe Burrow, like, forcing himself from that calf injury to get in for week one against the Browns. Why are you forcing yourself, honey bunny? Get this one out, baby. Like, don't kill yourself for that. The Cardinals and the Commanders? The Cardinals? Really?
Yeah.
No. I don't need to see that. Like, that's not a killer game. That's a yawner. Like, that's just, we don't even know. I mean, okay, Josh Dobbs is showing up, I think. They cut Colt McCoy. I guess he can finally go get his puppy now. You know, that's just, some of these games, I don't know what they're thinking. I really don't. The Panthers and the Falcons, okay. Yeah, I'm not hearing great things down here. I mean, you know, our quarterback is down here is building homes, or I don't know what he's doing. We should be learning a playbook and maybe working on the O-line. There's just nothing great going on. So I got to agree with our guys. I don't know who's making this up. I really don't. I'm sorry. It's nothing exciting. Maybe this is to help YouTube out. And because of the Disney Spectrum thing, nobody's going to be
mad. Oh, my God. That is a joke. You know, that is a complete joke. When isn't it funny how when the football season starts, that thing is a problem?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, why can't they negotiate this? Yeah, why couldn't they do these negotiations, you know, in the summertime or something? They wait for the football season, and now we're going to be shut out here with the Bills mm-hmm. and the Jets. So this might be a sports bar to watch this. Because Spectrum is not showing anything on ABC, ESPN.
Same thing down here.
And now I'm trying to figure out the ESPN game. Channel 4 usually does Sunday night. ESPN does Monday night. Channel 4 also does Thursday night with Amazon, I believe.
Yes, Amazon. Yeah. But right now, Spectrum is the main carrier in Charlotte as well. So that is an issue here. So I do know that it was just announced that a bunch of Floridians have gotten together to do a class action lawsuit against Spectrum for not going to the table and trying to negotiate this and everything. I just think the whole thing's a big mess. And then Disney is trying to say do the Hulu package, which, you know, they make the money off of, obviously. So the whole thing's a mess, and really it's just hurting us as the fans. YouTube has dropped, I believe, their Sunday ticket by another $20. It's only $20.
Well,
here's
the problem, and we've talked about this before, Danielle. This is starting to become an all-time ripoff. We were talking a few weeks ago when guys were talking about going to these games and parking and mm-hmm. hot dogs and beers and jerseys and whatever you want to buy. And now we've got, you know, the TV things going on and YouTube jacking up the prices and Spectrum going, well, we don't want to do it. It's just, you know, it's just one word. One word sums this whole thing up, and it starts with the capital G and ends with the small D. It really does. I mean, greed is the thing that's killing it. And they pretend they care. And I always say this. Don't tell me you care when you don't show me the words that you care. And, you know, people can't even go see the sport. The first thing I'm thinking here is, you know, you're married or whatever. You go, you take your spouse. You go to the game with your kid. Your kid's seen it for the first time. He likes it. He's going to get older. He's going to get married. He's going to take his kids. But you start to price these people out. Now the spouse ain't taking the kid. The kid doesn't even know anything about the sport because all they've seen here and there on TV maybe, they haven't seen a live event because they can't afford to go to a live event. You're killing the golden goose. That's what you're doing here, and they don't understand it. They really, really don't understand it. And I've said this before. I ain't paying $80 to park in your place. I don't drink. I'm not buying your $20 beers. I'm going to eat before I go in if I'm not covering the game. And if I'm sitting in the stands, I'm just going to enjoy the game, and that's it. I'll walk around. I'm not paying your prices to go to this. And you know what? I'm the furthest guy from being cheap, but I'm just not going to contribute to this kind of onslaught where they're just going to rip you off. And now,
I agree. I mean, at this point, I want to watch it from home. Now you're taking that away from me. It's like,
well, here comes. We got Barry from Arcadia, California. He goes, yeah, I go into breakfast places, spend $20 for a Denver omelet, and it's ridiculous. The omelet looks left for a mouse with hash browns and bread. $20, and then I got to tip the person on top of it who never comes around other than to just say everything good at the end, the collector tip. Yeah, you're right, Barry. That's what it's coming down to today. My dad always used to say, son, nobody cares what you know till they know how much you care. I'm beginning to wonder if some of these teams don't care and contribute, because they tell us they care, but when they're ripping people off on all these networks and everything, I mean, come on, man, you're making a big profit as it is, Disney. And that's the worst to get involved here is Disney, because they didn't do nothing with the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. They concentrate on doing your own movies with Peter Pan and all that. Don't worry about getting into the sports realm of things because you have no idea on how to run it. And then they get in it, and then they get out of it, then they go, well, okay, then we'll buy up ESPN and all this. I think what it's going to come down to, and now we're getting some comments, Dalen from Chelmsford, Mass, is everybody's going to start their own streaming network, or there's going to be other outlets now. ESPN's on a respirator. Yep. Yeah, you might be right, Dalen and Chelmsford. Danielle, I've ran in and raved about it. I'm going to give you the floor as we got 10 more minutes in the show, and we're rolling here, and we haven't even got into the games.
Well, here's the thing. Let's go through a couple headlines that have happened, little things that have happened that will change what's going to happen in the next couple weeks. The Giants have, given Danny Dimes that huge contract. Just 2 days ago, they restructured him because they had some cap space issues. So what they did was they created $6.3 million in cap space by converting $8.4 million of Jones' salary into a signing bonus. So Jones's cap figures increased by $2.1 million in each of 2024, 2025, and 2026 season as a result, because the Giants only had $826,000 in salary cap space. So this move gives them north of $7 million available heading into the season. If this money isn't used, the available cap space can carry over to the next season. Now, what I have heard, this is a rumor, so take it with a grain of salt, guys, is that this move may have been done to start looking at Mike Evans. I don't know why, because the wide receiver room is filled with the Giants, which is the first time ever. But maybe they learned from last year, being that we had no friggin' targets. Maybe they learned their lesson. Cole Beasley was moved to the practice squad. He was cut, then put on the practice squad. Now he's injured. God only knows. Maybe they all know Sterling Shepard is a China doll, so Bruno Mars version 2.0 will probably be injured by, I'm going to say, week three, knowing him. So that's probably going to be gone. And they just know that, given their history, the wide receiver room will be decimated by, I'm saying, week six, and we can't put all our eggs in Darren Waller's basket. Maybe they're making plans. I don't know. But that was done just a couple days ago. So maybe, like I said, they figure out, and being that they're going to start with the Cowboys, Sunday night they are the marquee game, and they've got some stuff to do. We don't know. Now, they made some moves. We know that they signed Isaiah Simmons, and they signed Bashan from the Bills. They're trying to get their house in order. Who knows? Their big test is going to be the Cowboys Sunday night. Cowboys are favored. Cowboys have won, I believe, five out of the last six meetings. So the Giants have a lot to prove coming up. But could Darren Waller be the X factor? The one thing that the Giants have not gotten a lot of credit for is that they have been second when it comes to fumble recoveries, which is, you know, that's a key stat. Now, granted, they haven't done great when it comes to interceptions, but this could be, you know, maybe this is finally the game that they get it going, Mark. I don't know.
Well, I will tell you, the one game I'm looking at here is, and it's out west in my backyard, is Miami and the Chargers. That's going to be one hell of a game because Miami is trying to, you know, we've seen Miami jump out to 3-1, 4-1 starts. Miami's problem is towards the end of the year, when they forget to play football after week 10 and 11, we've seen them fall completely off the cliff.
They can't finish.
But in the beginning of the year, Miami reminds me of UCLA football. They just come out like a bat out of hell. They start to roll, and everybody starts buying what they're selling, you know, and this is going to be an interesting game. I think the Chargers will prevail in this one. Chargers need to do something, and I will tell you this, if they don't do something, their coach is going to be rolling right out. He'll be the first guy out the door. So the Chargers got to get off. They've been snake-bitten the last few years, the Chargers, losing close games, winning close games, and then just running out of gas at the end. It's very imperative for the Chargers to get out of the gate. They're the best team in L.A. right now. They're better than the Rams. So I'm looking for a lot of big results out of the Chargers. And let me tell you, you talk about the greatest show on turf used to be the Rams. The Chargers got pretty much one of the best offenses in all of football.
They also have a new offensive coordinator.
Right.
Callan
from Dallas.
From Dallas, and, you know, he's got to put some new spin on this. And that's the talk, is that, you know, with that mind, he can do a lot. So this should be an interesting one. Him teamed up against, you know, McDaniel, it should be an interesting kind of game of chess with the offense. I think that'll be kind of what goes. And let's see if, you know, Tua and his whatever the heck is judo actually helps him from not hitting the turf.
The other game is going to be another one. The Raiders opened the season last year against the Chargers, came up short. Then they lost, I believe, to Arizona the following week, so they never really got themselves on track. But they opened the season in Denver, and that's a Sean Payton era. This is going to be Russell Wilson saying he's used to facing doubts. I think Russell Wilson's got now his second year in Denver, got a lot to prove. I don't know what the Raiders are going to do. I've predicted those guys to win the division the last 3 years. I'm staying out of that thing. But, man, oh, man, this is going to be an interesting game. Denver could probably pull this game out. You know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I don't know what your take is, and I don't know if there's another game there that's kind of interesting. I know the Eagles and Patriots is a good one. Carolina and Atlanta, I'm high on the Falcons. People aren't giving the Falcons much credit,
I give that to the Falcons 100%. The Eagles-Patriots is going to be a snoozer because the Eagles are just going to bulldoze the Patriots. I give the Raiders game, I give it to the Broncos because Sean Payton has got such a fire under his butt just for the NFL office in general that I think that's going to be an interesting game. I think the Bears-Packers game is actually going to be interesting because I think we're going to see what the Bears defense is made of. I think Love is going to try too hard, and that's where his mistakes are going to be. So I think that'll be kind of something to watch. And the Texans-Ravens game, while I'm not interested in it, I'm going to be interested to see the wide receiving core of the Ravens. I want to see how electric it is. You know, it's been made into such hype. Let's see what Lamar does with all the weapons he has. Does he run more? Does he finally just give up control and not force stuff, because he does do that? And does he finally utilize the tools that they have given him? I mean, they've given him so much in the way of the types of receivers. They've given him a jumper. They've given him a long body. They've given him guys that can make something happen. Will he really utilize it, or is he going to be Superman and try to put everything on his back?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. And we're about ready to wrap this show up. And before we do, I wanted to let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, what you got going during the week. And I can't wait to do this next week and at a regular scheduled time.
I'm going to be very excited to do the wrap-up of week one, just because football's finally back, and let's face it, we're all excited about that. Everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. Check it out. Slide into the DMs. Tell me what games you're looking for, who you're picking, who you're rooting for in general this season, because I think it will be a very exciting season with everything that we have going on, the international games, all that good stuff, the holdouts, everything. You can always check out my books, Birth of the Fae. Series are sold on Amazon, Target, Barnes & Nobles, all that good stuff, Audible. And then, like I said, if you just want to kind of tell me what you think is going on with the season, I'd love to hear it. I will be at Nightmare Weekend, October 13th in Richmond, Virginia. It's a cool horror con. And then I will be in December at GalaxyCon Columbus, Ohio, the first week of December, which I believe is December 3rd. And you can come see me there. And, of course, I will talk football because we'll be well into the season. And at that point, we'll be talking playoff predictions.
Yeah. Okay. Give me a sure shot of the week. And this is a new thing we'll do each and every week. I'll give you my sure shot. And give me a don't be surprised. So your sure shot and don't be surprised.
Sure shot is the Eagles against the Patriots. Eagles are going to take that. I would say don't be surprised if the Bears take the Packers. I think the Bears are going to win that one. Don't be surprised.
Wow, that's a good one. Sure shot, Steelers will club the 49ers. I'm taking that one to the bank. Don't be surprised if the Dolphins pull one on the Chargers. Don't be surprised. Yeah. because they always start out strong. So, yeah, don't be surprised. For Danielle Orsino in lovely Charlotte, North Carolina, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We'll be back next week, 7 o'clock Charlotte time, 4 o'clock L.A. time. Till then, have a blessed one. Tell all your friends, and thank you very much for listening. Good night, everybody.